Hello, and welcome to the Modern Romantic Podcast, where we celebrate romanticism through passionate people doing incredible things. Hi, I am legitimately making recommendations to a corporate environment to make kilts part of the dress code. Hi, I'm Trey, and I am joined by my co-host, Emily. Hi, Emily.
Hi, I'm in full agreement with your petition of sorts, and if there's a way I can sign it, I will.
Thank you. Thank you.
And yes, I'm Emily, and I'm also Team Glue Bear. If you say it really fast, people will have to ask you what. Well, they have to ask you what that means anyway, right?
They should.
Yeah, they should.
Right?
They should. And you should tell them.
I'm a proud member.
Right. Hashtag nothing is weird.
Hashtag nothing is weird. And hashtag corporate kilt attire. Yes, I'm in support of this.
Right.
Emily, would you please do the honor of, one, explaining what Glue Bear is, and then also what who our wonderful guest is this evening?
I'm going to do that in reverse order. I'm going to introduce our guest, and we will talk about Glue Bear.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am thrilled to introduce a master of her craft, a true artist who brings the beauty of wood to life in the most extraordinary ways. Join us in welcoming the queen of Team Glue Bear herself, Leah Hotelling.
Yay!
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Tell us about Team Glue Bear and what that means so that
Team Glue Bear
knows.
Well, I have a glue bear who used to be a honey bear. So it transitioned to a glue bear maybe about 20 years ago because I got honey at the local market, and then it's a honey bear, and it's a perfect honey bear, and it's perfect for glue. Why have a boring container for glue when you can have a glue bear? Why get a ketchup container or a mustard container when you can have a glue bear? A local glue bear. And now there's several glue bears, and there's even an oil bear. And what happened is glue bear got really popular because I would talk about glue bear on my Instagram account, and it turned into like hashtag glue bear. So I made t-shirts, and there's hundreds of them around, which is, I'm honored that people wear my little glue bear on them.
It's awesome.
Yes. Oh, I hear you. I hear you loud and clear now.
Oh, good. Good. It was, it wasn't very far down at all, so I don't know.
Oh, wait, wait. Hello from the UK. Yes. Hello, Audrey. How are you? I hope you're well. Okay, anyhow.
We've got some chat going already, which is awesome. Someone from the UK is tuned in, and
yes, cheers to that.
Yeah, let us know where you're from in the chat so we can Venice, Florida. Janet,
Florida.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah.
So we ask everybody this. I'm sure a lot of people already know, but for those who are new to you and Team Glue Bear, what drew you to woodworking?
Need.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I needed furniture, and furniture is really expensive. So I've always been a very mechanically inclined individual. Look at all these. Florida, Orlando, Massachusetts. I used to live in Massachusetts, Western Mass. Madison, Wisconsin. Hey. Okay. So we love Leah Hotelling. I love you, Natalie. All right. So I just started making furniture. I just dove right in to, we needed a bed, so I made a bed.
Wow.
And it lasted a long time until I burned it one day because I could build something better. I could make it stronger, faster. Anyhow, that's kind of
faster bed.
Yeah, faster bed. So that's kind of how it happened, just out of need and necessity. And I thought, this would be cool.
Yeah.
And 23 years later, I'm still building things, which is great.
So you're a DIYer kind of in general, or is it specific to wood?
Unfortunately for me, I know how to do a lot of things.
Unfortunately.
Because it kind of sucks in some ways to be what I call a multi-tool. I remember the day that I got good at plumbing. I came out of a basement of a building we owned, and I was like, God damn it! And Amelia said, what's wrong? And I was like, I just figured out plumbing. I'm really pissed off about it because I didn't want to have to do it. So Yes, I'm a multi-tool, but wood is definitely my thing. I love being able to take wood and turn it into whatever I want.
Is there a particular kind of wood that you like to work with, or is it like, are you just anything and everything, or do you have like specialties that you prefer?
I like all wood because I don't want to just pigeonhole into one wood. I'm not a woodist, I would say. I like all wood. All wood is good. So I'm not particularly drawn to one particular type. I know I'm not really into exotic woods just for moral issue. I just don't think we should be doing anything to the rainforests. We shouldn't have exotic woods. And I don't believe any of it is responsibly harvested, even though they say it is. So I'm very cynical about stuff like that because, let's face it, corporations are not out for our interests. They're out for their pocketbooks. All wood is good. Yeah, that's a good hashtag. Minnesota, San Francisco, hello. Illinois, hello. Montreal, oh my goodness.
Wow.
Look at all you people. I love you guys.
Winchester, Virginia. Yeah, there's, I love it. Oaklawn, Illinois. I know exactly where that is. I grew up near Chicago, so.
Washington. Woo! No, I have the best. I hate calling, hate. I don't even like to say that word. I dislike that people are called followers. It feels kind of weird. These are just people. And I have this wonderful group of people that we're all connected together
It's
through.
community, yeah.
They're amazing. Is bamboo considered wood? Yes, it is, even though it's not a wood. It's turned into wood.
Yeah. What is it considered then? Is it just a plant or?
I think it's a plant, yeah, because it's not a tree, but through process, it can get turned into wood.
Sure.
In terms of like, so I have this really, really stupid understanding of wood. And it's kind of whittled its way into the current state of my own being.
Pun
And
intended.
I've a little bit pun intended. And that as wood kind of gets shaved down, it all kind of has this like uniform sort of look to it until you start applying things like stains to it to get like to achieve a slightly different color to it. Or at least that's my current understanding of that. Is there any particular like wood that retains its color as you start to work with it more, or do you still achieve that color more through the stains or the application of preserving something?
Okay, so I don't stain anything. I don't, and if I do, it would be a natural stain like coffee, tea, the sun, things like that. It also, oh, vinegar. Vinegar, it's called iron oxide. No, iron acetate. So it's when you take vinegar and then you put metal into it that rusts, and then you can take that and then you can wipe it onto tannic wood, things like oak. But originally, it was used actually for walnut to make it look like ebony. It was called ebonizing, even though it's not really ebonizing at all. So, to answer your question, I am not into staining. A lot of people are, but woods have specific colors already. Like hickory can be buttery in color, butternut can be as brown, cherry is in the red category, walnut is deep dark brown to blacks. There's brown oaks, there's red oaks, there's white oaks, and also the way it's cut. Sometimes it's quarter sawn, like you can get different grain patterns in it. So most of the time, like woodworkers, a lot of woodworkers that I know, we don't really stain. We go for, okay, we want it to be dark, so we use walnut. We want it to be lighter, so we're usually going to be using something like maple or ash. So, and there was a eucalyptus tree that's called, it's a rainbow eucalyptus. It's in Hawaii. Yeah, it's rainbow colored. Rainbow. Look it up after this and check it out. It's stunning. You can't, it's endangered and you can't get the wood. It's, I think, in Hawaii, but it's stunning.
Yeah, I
Oh
want to
my.
see it now.
Yeah, and there's Padauk. It's an exotic wood. A lot of people send me wood.
Oh, yeah.
They'll just send me boxes of wood. It's a beautiful thing that they do. And I got Padauk one time, and it's red. It's amazing. It's just like, what? There's one called Purple Heart.
Yep.
It's purple. So it's just like, it's every color you can think of. Poplar comes in like greens and yellows. So you have the colors of the rainbow if you really seek them out. Like even blue, pine beetle makes the lumber blue.
Really?
Yeah.
Aren't there some though that like if they're exposed to oxygen or if they're left out to the air for a long time or whatever, they'll fade or they lose that freshly cut color? Or is that just a fallacy I believe and am
No,
wrong?
no, no. That does happen, but usually it's that, like Purple Heart. If I put Purple Heart out in the sun, it will turn purple.
Oh.
Yeah. So I don't know about the sun. The sun fades things, definitely. Water doesn't wreck things most of the time because people are like, waterproof. No, it's actually the sun. The sun destroys things. I mean, UV rays
Yeah.
rip things apart. So I just know this for Purple Heart. But the sun can bleach things absolutely if it's not protected.
What is the best way to protect things?
Besides
Depends.
keeping it out of the sun.
Okay,
Yeah, definitely
yes.
the is keep it out of the sun. But there's a lot of great finishes out there. And this is when you would use a stain. I've used stains to make things like I've made a mahogany bench and some outdoor chairs. And you use a darker stain with a UV protection in it. Mine was, what was it? The teak oil? But it really was teak oil. There's things out there that was just like, it's teak oil from Minwax. When it's $15.99, it's not teak oil. When it's $70, it probably is teak oil. So it's oily woods that they basically can get the oil from a tree, because a tree like a teak tree is very oily. So you can actually get the oil from the tree and mix it into a finish, and there's UV protection on it. But the thing is, it has to be maintained. I think a lot of people think, I'm just going to put some polyurethane, some spar urethane with UV protection, Danish oil. Somebody has a question about Danish oil. Danish oil. There's good Danish oil and there's bad Danish oil. So
Oh.
Watco is not good. It's just polyurethane that's thinned with mineral spirits. That's all it is. If you want good Danish oil, look it up from like something like Fine Woodworking, and you could find it. But it and so reapplying a finish yearly is what you would need to do, and staining it slightly darker than what it is helps too, because what that does is it protects the wood from UV rays. If you just put a clear coat on it, the UV rays are going to penetrate it really quickly. If you put something a little darker, a stain that's darker on there, you're going to be protecting the wood. Padauk, Padauk, Padauk. Everyone loves Padauk.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Great.
So,
Well,
I'm sorry.
sorry.
Go ahead, Trey.
So I apparently have a lot to learn when it comes to wood. So I have a little bit of a reading up to do.
Well, I mean, it's a woodworker's job. It's just like anything else. I don't know a lot about like metalworking. I've been doing this for so long. Somebody has a question of how long I have a piece before I know what to do with it. Sometimes it can take years. Sometimes I hold on to a piece of wood and I'm just like, ah, I love it so much as is. Sometimes I will love the piece so much that I don't want to do anything with it because I almost feel guilty because I love trees so much. I actually have a lot of guilt about woodworking. Isn't that weird? I need a therapist. So sometimes it can take years. Other times I can look at a piece and be like, oh, I know exactly what I want to make with it. I think it depends on the piece of wood that I have.
I feel like that's the same thing with fabric. Like Trey
Oh,
and I have both done costuming, and people give us fabric, and similar to the wood situation. And
right.
I've had fabric for years that I haven't done
Yeah,
anything with.
little pieces, and you're just like, oof, I'm gonna do something someday.
It's special.
Yes, and even if you never did something with it, if you have something, anything, a tiny object that brings you some type of joy and happiness, why would we ever get rid of it? We don't have enough joy and happiness in the world. There's no doubt about it.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Have you ever worked with Cypress?
No, but somebody's sending me some.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. Yeah, because Cypress isn't in the Northeast. I'm sure I could probably go to some wood place, maybe in Rochester is the closest that would have a lot of wood like that, and maybe get some there. But Cypress is beautiful.
You know, we had Griffin Ramsey on the show, who does the chainsaw carving, and we asked her, like, what's your favorite wood to work with for chainsaw carving specifically, because that's her thing. And it was Jerusalem. Oh, no, my mind just went blank. What was it, Trey? Jerusalem something. Does that sound familiar to you at all? Jerusalem. You can't import it or something. Like, it's impossible to get it here, but you can get it in the Middle East. And she had gone there for an event and had been given this piece of Jerusalem, whatever. And it was like the holy grail of wood.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And I don't know what it was. We have a version of it here, but it is not the same. And I don't. Oh, man. Oh, well, if someone in the chat knows what I'm talking about. Otherwise, I feel like if you remember. No, sorry?
It's amazing that there's so many different trees everywhere. Even in, like, in the United States, it's just like we don't have the same trees in the Northeast that we do in the Southeast. I mean, some are the same.
Yeah.
But temperate conditions and all that, everywhere you go, there's different woods that you can only get in one particular area. I love that, trees, because trees, to me, trees are a lot like people. It's just like they're all individual and perfect just the way they are, even with all their flaws, even with a branch that's broken. I look at trees and I'm just like, oh, they just feel like my family. As weird as that sounds, I feel very connected to trees. Yeah. I always.
So because your work celebrates like the beauty and imperfections, what inspires you to work with those flaws? Or what would someone would consider a flaw? You don't see it as a flaw necessarily.
Oh, cracks. Cracks and scratches and knot holes. All of those things that tell a story.
Yeah.
Of the tree's life that I think we get really spoiled and we get a little tunnel vision about what we think perfection is. And I know there's a tremendous amount of woodworkers out there who, they make beautiful things. They're gorgeous, but they would never think, they wouldn't salvage. They're like particular woodworkers. That's just not me. It's not me. It's just like, I want to be able to honor the entire tree. I mean, these are things that some of the wood that I've dealt with is probably hundreds of years old. It's just like, I need to use every single piece of that tree and honor it as much as I can. Somebody said Jerusalem cedar or Jerusalem olive. Oh.
It might have been one of those. I feel like.
I bet you it was olive wood because that's beautiful wood. It's insanely beautiful. I'm sure cedar is too. But I like to use every part of the tree. I don't want to have scraps left. It's like my whole thing is like leave no scrap behind. And it's how can I use every single part when I cut something? It's just like what's too small? For a long time, it was 2x2x4 because that was the bird size. And now it's gotten even smaller. So my goal is to not have any waste whatsoever with woodworking. And so, not.
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And that doesn't count, like some things get burned because we have a wood stove, so there's some tiny things that get burned, but I even feel bad about that because sometimes I'll bring them inside and then I'll sift something out and be like, oh geez, I gotta take this back into the shop. Right? Yeah, somebody said no waste, that's the sawdust. I made logs from sawdust that you can burn. Yes. In your stove. Which is awesome. It's just like, and it was one of those posts that went crazy. And of course, it's very unfortunate the world is like this. There was a bunch of mansplainers. Even though you make something and you show it works, but then it's still like, well, that doesn't work because blah, blah, blah. It's just like.
I literally showed you it works.
It works. And it's because it was work, because I had to like crank it three times to press it. I don't know. But it's wonderful to be able to use every single bit. And the sawdust thing was fantastic. It's just wood and sawdust, a little bit of pressure, take it out, dry it. And when you burn it, there was no debris. It burned complete. It's just like what can you say else that does that? I know pellets do, but this was not like a pellet machine. It was a Lea pellet machine, so it was great.
And even better because it's using every last scrap.
Yes, it's awesome.
Someone said your ball of shavings on the barrel tray was great.
Oh yeah, thank you. I almost want to like make a bunch of shavings and send them with the barrel trays because it was a ball of walnut shavings. It was beautiful. Because when you're hand planing walnut, it's one of those beautiful woods that you get these huge curlicues from them. And who doesn't love walnut?
Right.
Walnut is wood.
You have talked about how like trees themselves are really inspiring and how much you feel a lot of connection to them. But I'm kind of curious what your other artistic influences are.
Oh boy. It's everything. Like I can look at anything and get inspired artistically. Buildings, music hugely. I love music. Painting, welding. We're starting to build a welding shop at our
Ooh, okay.
property. So we'll be working with metal. I'm hoping to get that done over the winter. But I don't think there's any art that doesn't inspire me. Even stuff that I won't say I don't like it, but maybe I don't get it, and it's not my type of thing, I can still get something from it. Because when people are just like, oh, I hate fill in the blank music or a piece of art or something, I just think you're saying you hate someone. And I think it's really, we need to self-correct that. We need to fix how we speak. Because when you say, like, a song, oh, I hate this song, somebody put their life into that. Somebody put a piece of their heart and soul into that. So for us to say we hate it, even we don't like it, we can come up with better things than that. We have to come up with better things of just like find something you like about it. Because there's going to be something that you like about it if you really work. Because I think art is one of these things that really brings us together. Like a concert is a perfect example of that. You go to a concert and there could be thousands of us in a concert. It doesn't matter who you are. When they play that one song and we're all singing along and dancing, it's just like that should be more. We need more of that.
Yep.
Like with art, with music, just with life in general. Flash mob in the grocery store.
Yes,
Yes.
please.
Yes.
Kind of along that same line, our listeners will know that I've studied music, I've studied theater and those sorts of things, and so I can sometimes get on a high horse about theater and speaking from that level of things. Emily's laughing at me because she knows it's true.
I don't know if I'd call it a high horse is my I'm taking issue with that, but go on. Trey strives for excellence, and that is what he's referring to.
And sometimes I will admit it can be opinionated, but what I have been appreciative of is my boyfriend currently sitting upstairs. I've taken him to some local community theater productions, and then I've also taken him to some touring Broadway shows. And it was after exiting one of the more recent community theater productions that we did, he said, "This, what we saw here today, was on the same level as the touring Broadway show that we went to go see, that we paid like much more to go watch." That gave me the same experience.
Yeah.
The acting, the singing, the music, the artistry behind it, everything culminated in that same type of experience. So what is the difference between Broadway and what we just watched?
Yeah, right?
Well, and I
Nothing.
find, oh, I'm sorry.
There isn't there there's no difference other than like maybe a larger production and a bigger budget. But if you can get the point across, like in your town, going to theater or going to a museum or an art exhibit, Yeah, just take that in. That's a beautiful thing that we're able to get that. And I think lots of times, maybe we don't know something's going on in the town, or we're just like, oh, we can't go to that. We need to. It's like art, no matter what's going on, art is there for us. Like in the worst times, that's bringing us out of it. In the best times, we're celebrating it. It's just like art is the thing.
Truly, truly. And I think it's also true for our podcast as well. There have been episodes where I've gone, well, this feels over my head because this guest is not in my wheelhouse as far as experience. But we can always talk art. We can always talk about the process, and we can always talk about the things that are we all have relatable things. And so we're
Right.
all in the same, that concert kind of experience happens here, I feel like, often enough. So it doesn't matter if I don't want to bring up anyone in particular, but it doesn't matter if I don't specifically relate to that art form. Getting to know the
Right.
person who is doing the art form helps me appreciate it. And seeing that, like you said, they put part of their soul into their work. And,
Yes.
you know, I too don't want to say like I don't like it, because it's not that I don't like it. It's I'm
Right.
seeing their expression of themselves and their soul, and that's
Right.
what matters. Which is why I
Exactly.
think it matters that everyone is creative somehow.
Right. There's a lot of people who say that they aren't. And I think you are, no, you're all creative. We're all creative, and we don't embrace it, and we don't see it the way it should be, which is maybe you're a fantastic cook. Food is art. Maybe you crochet something. Crocheting is art. It's all art. You sing in the car. That's art. It's like it's everywhere around us. And I think a lot of people are just shut down to it, especially in the past couple of years. But guess what? We're still here, right? All the artists are still here, and we're pulling people with us of just like, come on, it's gonna get better. It has to get
Yep.
better. And it's just a matter of time. But when we band together, we can like pile on each other and we can hold each other up, which is so important to do. Somebody asked, what is the most difficult wood to work with? I don't know. Oh, for me, it was hickory. It was this wildly figured hickory that I like to say beat the living hell out of me because I had to hand plane it and it had these knot holes all over it. In fact, there's a piece of it here, but you can't really see it. So when I was planing it probably took half an hour to do like a 12-foot section or 12-inch section. It was very difficult to work with. Somebody else also asked how long I've been woodworking, and it's 23 years. And yes, I do want to do metal work because Amelia is a welder. So yeah, we
Oh.
want to incorporate welding into the woodworking at some point.
Hey, it's Trey here from the Modern Romantic Podcast. I wanted to take a moment to say thank you so much for listening. Wherever you are listening from, it really means the world to us. Emily and I started this podcast to share inspiring stories and celebrate the many forms that art can take. Having you here along for the ride as we continue that mission really inspires us to keep going. We are constantly blown away by every single listen. So we really mean it. Thank you. Okay, now get back to the interview. This one's good.
That would be
Awesome.
phenomenal.
Yes, somebody said art is life. Yes, that's you. Art is life. It is.
Do you have any current plans for that you've already talked about for your first collaborative project?
With Amelia?
Yeah.
Oh, probably tables. Small tables where I will make the tops and she'll make the bottoms. Something that we could flat pack potentially, because
Okay.
that's going to be easier to ship out
Sure.
if we're going to sell them. I assume we're going to sell them, but maybe we won't. I don't know. All
I want to be on that list.
right.
Yeah.
All right. We'll put you on there.
And someone asked about petrified wood, and I actually have a piece of petrified wood, and it is a stone, an
Yeah,
actual rock.
you can work with petrified wood, but for me, I'd be like, why would I want to? It's perfect. And petrified wood to me is saying, I did what I needed to do. Please love me and don't do anything more to me. So I would say, no, I wouldn't want to work with petrified wood because it is stone. So you'd have to treat it as stone. So there'd be a lot of water involved in whatever you did.
Sure. Yeah, it's kind of beautiful in its state, I think, anyway. You can see the grain and things like that in it.
Oh, hell yeah. Somebody has one about everyone being creative, but they worry about other people's opinions. Of course, I think that's human nature in many ways, but we often forget that an opinion is not a fact. So
Right.
an opinion, I guess it's okay to have an opinion, but is it? Should we not have opinions? I don't know. That's a deep question. That's a stoic question.
It
I've been
is.
reading I've been reading things about stoicism lately. And that's one of them about not having an opinion. And to me, I don't know if I can get on board with that one, but it's very Buddhist too, right? Can you just be in the moment and be like, if somebody says, oh, I don't like that piece, you did this wrong. Maybe it's just like, oh, okay, thank you. But we can't say thank you. We take it on, and then we start to feel like crap, especially as a woman. No doubt, right? Because there's going to be so many mansplainers out there. There always are mansplainers out there. And sometimes I get a little snarky, other times I don't. But I think my newest thing is probably going to be, I'm so sorry that you feel that way. Hugs.
Oh, I
Love.
like that response. One thing about opinions that they aren't correct. They're not fact, but also they are definitely a reflection of the person giving the opinion more than they are of fact. So
Yes.
you can look at it as, okay, that is something coming from them. That is their own world. So it doesn't have to be yours.
Oh, art is selfish. I love that. Christopher, I like that. I really do. Because selfish is another word I think that people look at and they think, oh, that's bad. It's not. We have to be a little selfish sometimes. Selfish is okay. It's not, you're not putting everybody else on hold, but if you're selfish for you and what you're doing in the moment, it's totally fine. And I think connecting with that, I think, is really important because I think he's right. I think art is selfish. I think we are just like zoning in on something. Nothing else exists. I want this and I want it to work out. That is selfish. But it's great because where would we be without that? I mean, we wouldn't have all this great artwork out there if we didn't just like hunker down and just work. It's
Yeah.
also selfless. I would counter that too. Like for me, it's very selfless for me to be doing it too. It's just like it is all consuming. And it's sometimes the only thing I can think about. It's sometimes the only thing I can talk about. And fortunately, I have a partner who's incredibly she's just there all the time. She's just a ground. She's like a grounding rod for me. So supportive. She's beyond supportive. There's another word for that, and I don't know what it is, but it's just like she's like the perfect partner. We should clone her, really. But I'd want all of them. All the clones. I'd want all
Do you? Oh, go ahead, Trey.
sorry, just last thing on opinions, or like giving someone an opinion. I saw this on TikTok. Whoever said this, I give you all of the credit for saying this, but it's looking at someone giving you that opinion of saying like, oh, that was crap. You're right, that was crap. How can I make it better?
Yeah, right.
You take all of the air out of the balloon and you just kind of watch them just kind of shrivel for a second and be okay, so thank you for not giving me constructive criticism and let's move the conversation forward. How do we make it better?
Yeah, right. Yeah, sometimes interaction, because I think a lot of times we give people names. It's just like now the word Karen, that cringes me. I'm just like, what? So there's women out there named Karen, and somebody came up with that, and now it's derogatory. Just I kind of feel the same way about troll, the internet trolls. I look at people and I'm just like, wait, everybody needs love. And sometimes they're just being a keyboard cowboy and they're having an awful day and they're taking it out on a stranger. And we all have awful days. Just put any of us behind the wheel of a car and we're all douchebags when we're driving. There's no doubt. No one's perfect. But we don't see that. So sometimes I look at it like that too, of just like, when I was going through cancer, that was a big thing. When I'd be driving, somebody was going slow, and I'm like, oh, what the blah, 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 blah. And I'd be like, oh, wait a second. For all I know, they're going to chemo. For all I know, their child is getting chemo. For all I know, somebody just died. And why am I yelling at them? I don't even know them. That's mean. That's awful to do. So,
Yeah, they can't even hear you. Right.
right?
Yeah.
Somebody asked, is it hard to let a piece go? It depends on what it is what I would say. I am used to actually making furniture, and a lot of people don't know that I make furniture. I've made 300 pieces of furniture in the past like 20 years, possibly more. And with furniture, if I'm making a big piece, I'll tell you what, when I'm done with it is like a breakup. I don't ever want to see it again. It's just like, we went through our entire relationship. I loved you. I made you. We were together for so long. It was good. And when it was done, I was just like, please leave and don't ever come back. So that's kind of how furniture is. But small pieces sometimes. Sometimes I'm a little attached to the small pieces. Like the birds and the whales right now are pretty awesome.
Tell us about the birds. They're comfort birds, right?
Yes, somebody asked that one too. It's like, where did they come from? I've long said that there are so many cool things that come from like grandpa's garages and workshops. And sooner or later, it's going to be grandma's too, by the way, which is good. But you know, they're always tinkering in their workshop. Well, that's where the comfort birds came from. It was like the 1980s, I believe. I don't know the man's name, but he had a neighbor that wasn't feeling well, and he was tinkering around in his wood shop, and he carved a little bird, and he brought it over to her, and then didn't see her for a while, and saw her maybe like a week or two later, and she was like, I just want to just thank you so much for that bird. It brought me so much comfort. And that's where he came up with the name Comfort Birds. So then he started selling some, but he always had some on him, and he was giving them away. Where I read about it was, what's the name of it? Wood Carving Illustrated. There's a whole article that basically says that in there. And there's the pattern of his bird too. My bird is a little different than her than his. I want a little bit more modern, but the story is just fantastic of just giving things away. Because I do have little birds on me all the time. So when I'm out and about and then somebody's like, are you that woodworker? I'm like, why, yes, I am. Would you like a bird? So
That's so amazing.
that's the bird story.
Is there meaning behind the whales too? Or are they just super cute?
They're just super cute. But of course, there's meaning behind everything. Whales have an incredibly special spot in my heart. They're amazing. Like, I've been on many whale watches, and every time I see one, for some reason, I just burst into tears. I don't know what it's about, but it's just like, there's just something incredibly beautiful about seeing a creature that large and you know it's that smart, just like right in front of you. I think it's a snippet of life for me of just like, oh yeah, I am this tiny. I am a speck. And this creature is so much more amazing than I could ever be of this whale. But as far as like where it came from the bird.
Okay.
So, in my like not wanting to have scraps and wanting to use all my scraps, one day one of the cutouts of the birds, I saw that when I cut the tail off, it looked like a whale, and I was like, "Holy cow, that's a whale! If I just made this a little bit bigger, this blank, I could get two creatures out of one blank." So
Awesome.
that started a couple weeks ago, and I was like, "I just need to figure this out." So I just made the blank slightly larger so I can get a bird out of one side and a whale out of the other. And they're kind of like a reverse image of each other. So here they are, right? So here is this guy,
whale.
Right? Mm-hmm. And this is on top.
Oh, sure.
So, yeah, that's how it came up.
Kind of like a yin-yang.
It is.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Do you teach classes of any kind?
Oh, hell no.
Okay.
I am so dyslexic.
Okay.
people have asked that many, many times. And my response now is potentially if somebody else was teaching with me, because how I teach or how I would teach wouldn't be typical because I'm a little neurodivergent, I'd say. So if I could travel anywhere for inspiration, where in the world would you travel? Japan.
Ooh, okay. Where in Japan?
Anywhere. Like the craftsmanship of Japanese woodworkers is insane. It's like they do things with hand tools. They make these amazing joints that my mind can't even wrap around with just a chisel and a handsaw. Yeah, I'd want to immerse with Japanese craftsmen is what I would want to do.
So what you're telling us is we need to start a GoFundMe to get you to Japan.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Oh my God. Yeah, I have a book on Japanese joinery and the joints are just like, they're mind blowing. I'm just like, how do they do this? Because there's zigzag, 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 and they just fits in together. And it's insane. And that's how a lot of like temples, well, all the temples were built like that. So when you need to fix a part, you basically just knock out a piece of the puzzle and put a new piece of the puzzle in. It's just like, it's not built. Their buildings aren't built the same way ours are. So it's pretty fantastic. And that's Cyprus. Speaking of Cyprus.
Okay. Wow.
I like that. A piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. You know, it's pretty crazy.
That's brilliant.
Two questions. One, kind of follow up. We mentioned or we talked about earlier some of your influences. And with you going to Japan, it leads me back to you mentioned that music really inspires you. So now I need to ask, who's on your current playlist of things that you listen to?
I might not even know the names of the bands because what I find in my shop is that I don't listen to a lot of lyrics because I get caught up and then I'll stop and I'll listen to the lyrics. So I listen to a lot of like binaural stuff on headphones. So it's going back and forth in my ears and it helps my concentration a great deal, but there's also music going on in there. But if I was listening to lyrics, it's everything basically. There's nothing I really don't listen to. I'm not somebody who favors particular bands because I love music so much that I enjoy all of it. Like I like jazz and I like big bands. I like older rap. I like folk. I like new age. I love electronic. It's my favorite. Like I love things like Boards of Canada, if you've ever heard of them, or Air or Bonobo. It's like these really Dirty Vegas. Yeah, Massive Attack. Awesome stuff. Yeah. And disco. I love disco. It's just like, I love old country. Amelia and I used to play music. We played in New York City actually a lot. So I play the banjo. And Amelia plays the... Yeah, so fun times.
Oh my gosh. Okay, yeah. So please tell me that you have a video somewhere of you two playing together.
Oh yeah, yeah. If you Google, yeah. If you Google me, you'll find videos. Actually, you'll find like music videos when we played with a woman, Mary Larson, who was in this 90s band, Matter Rose, that was pretty popular in the 90s. So we played with her for a while. I do know Fresh Air. Terry Gross is not the host anymore. I'm a little bummed about
yeah.
that. Amelia plays the upright bass, but she's also a
Ooh.
fantastic piano player. Somebody asked.
Oh,
Like,
cool.
she's classical. She's more classical. I could probably play, unfortunately for me again, I can play just about any instrument. Like, I can just like pick it up and play it.
What?
Strings
Yeah,
specifically, or?
yeah, I haven't done a lot of reed instruments, but I probably should. Why not? I should just try it out.
You should definitely add that to your plate.
Right? Yeah, why not? I'll do that. In fact, I made a wooden banjo because I have this awesome tubophone from the 1920s. It's got a great tone to it, but it's loud, and I thought I should have another banjo. So I built a wooden top banjo that is really mellow. That's a really nice practice banjo to play with.
Oh, Lisa clarified, the Mannheim Steamroller music series called Fresh Air, not the Fresh Air
Oh,
show.
all
I was thinking
right.
like NPR Fresh Air or whatever. Oops.
Can you make a harp? Oh my goodness. I don't think, I mean, of course I
Of
could. It
course.
would probably take years, but I think the amount of tension that a harp takes is insane. When you look at like all the strings, that must be a lot of PSI. So I probably wouldn't be the person to make that.
I didn't think about harp making as woodworking, but totally it is.
Right? Chitoyancy.
What is
I'm sorry.
that? Tell us what chitoyancy
Chitoyancy
is.
is figured wood. So I don't have any here, but it's like a curly grained wood. It's
Okay.
beautiful. It almost looks three-dimensional. I do have a lot of chatoyancy. So I have a feeling that person follows Justin Davies. Chatoyancy. Anyhow, I need echo on that when I say that.
We'll make that happen for you. The person who said that is Josh, our moderator. Which I don't think I've
Oh.
ever heard him say the word chitoyancy myself, and we're in the same house right now. So I'll have to ask about that one.
Yeah, my favorite chatoyant would be anything that has chatoyancy in it because sometimes it surprises you. So I get a lot of wood milled. Most of my wood is milled from about 10 miles around, all of my lumber.
Cool.
And you don't know what's inside of a tree. It's like Christmas. So I have a sawyer, and we'll go get the tree, and then we start sawing it. And you open up the first piece. I remember I did this on a maple tree 2 years ago that's just about dry now. And it's flaming maple. So the inside of it looks like flames. It was insane. I was jumping up and down and screaming, I believe.
That's awesome.
I was hopping around. I was like boing, 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 boing. I was so excited about it. But yeah, you don't know what's going to happen. So sometimes you have a piece of rough cut lumber, for instance, that it doesn't look, it's not planed. So it just looks kind of the best word for it is hairy. You don't know what's under the beard, basically, until you shave it. So when I put it through the planer sometimes, something will pop out and it'll be chatoyancy. It'll be insanely figured wood. And then I take it and put it against a wall and never use it.
Of course, of course.
Because I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? It feels special.
Right.
Can't give it up.
He described it as the tiger eye effect in the wood. My guess was going to be like that kind of iridescence that happens. I've seen it in
Oh,
some woods, but
yeah. I think he's talking about bird's eye maple and tiger maple, which are two different woods. Bird's eye maple is like these tiny little things that look like eyes. In fact, just had a piece out there in my shop that I put aside, and I was like, what am I going to do with this? It's bird's eye maple. And tiger maple looks like the way a tiger's stripes are. So it's kind of like wavy.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's three-dimensional is the best thing. What wood smells the best?
Yeah.
Fruit woods. Cherry smells like cherry.
Oh,
Apple
yeah.
smells apple. Yeah, when you're cutting it, especially the bright red cherry. Oh my God, it's stunning. You cut it and it just smells delicious.
I remember working in an undisclosed men's haberdashery location. And we would get in these cedar hangers every once in a while. You
Yeah.
would open the box of it and just woods would just come up wafting from that. And about every like we worked with a person named James, who's been on the podcast before, who would talk about like going in and like lightly sanding it every 6 months or so to keep that to keep that smell in your closet and act as like a natural deterrent for bugs and other some other things. So one day I actually did that at my old place. My I swear to you that my closet didn't stop smelling like cedar for a solid 6 weeks. It was glorious. It
I
was
did not know
so
this
good.
story.
Cedar, it has like an oily content to it as well. So when you scuff it up a little bit, you're basically releasing those oils. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Tree does that. It's just like somebody found that out one day. That's exciting too to me. I'm just like, one day somebody was in the forest and maybe a cedar tree had fallen over and they were like, "What's that smell?" And then they went over and they're like, "Holy moly, smell this. This is insane." It's like somebody found that stuff. That's always amazing to me. I love it.
That is, yeah. Well, and I imagine it's like many plants are that way too. I'm really into gardening. So, like, when you harvest like an onion, let's say, the whole plant smells like onion. Like, that's why green onions are a thing, because you can eat the green part too. It's still onion, just like the bottom of it is. So, I imagine trees, that's why they apple would smell like apple and cherry like cherry. That makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
One thing I want to bring up is you quit your job to do woodworking full time, and that is a huge leap for anything with artistry. So can you talk about that transition and how that's impacted you?
Sure. So Amelia and I were in the service industry for a really long time. We owned a cocktail lounge, and then we owned a restaurant. So that's all we did. And then at one point, we're just like, we need to be done with this and quit. So what allowed me to pursue woodworking is having a wife who is a psychotherapist. So she had her own. Yeah, there you go. So she had a private practice. So what happens with us is we often. One of us kind of like carries financially the family. And she was just like, "Okay, I have a private practice and it's full. Do whatever you want." And I was like, "Really?" So I started woodworking and it was great. It was wonderful. But then, that's, I was making furniture. But then something happened on Instagram and then I exploded.
Oh, right.
So, what it's because people ask me that a lot of just like how to pursue woodworking. And I always say the same thing. It's just like you have to, unfortunately, you have to start part time unless you have an Amelia, unless you have somebody who can financially hold the family up and give you the time that you need to get going. And sometimes you can't. Sometimes it's always going to be part-time. But maybe that's okay, because I think we should be doing more than one thing to make a living as it is. It's just like we shouldn't put our eggs in one basket. I think having two, three, four things even that make you money. Are you having fun? Are you having a good time? Do it. Because there's nothing wrong with hard work. There's also nothing wrong with doing a job that maybe you don't enjoy a lot because you want to do this other thing that's making you incredibly happy. It's like we have to find that balance in there of sometimes you are going to have to go and work in the service industry so you can go work out in your shop. But that working in your shop is, will eclipse what you what whatever other thing you have to do. It's just a matter of time. You have to just put your nose to the grindstone and do it. And as far as like social media, there's no silver bullet. Definitely need to say that. People want to think do this and do that and do this, or pay somebody hundreds of dollars to tell you something. Don't ever do that. Don't ever pay somebody who says they're going to make you like internet famous. famous. They're not going to be able to do that. You just do your thing and be yourself. And don't even think about that. So I was never thinking about that, ever. I've always been the same personality, which is what about four, what you see is what you get. It's just like, there's somebody right now I see who's charging $1,000 for like, oh, we're going to teach you how to be like YouTube people. And I just think, you're a shitbag when you do that personally. there's so many other things we can do to make money. Don't do that to someone, because the fact is, anybody like me or anybody who's got more than 100,000 followers, it was luck. We didn't do anything special. We all made a video one day that somehow took off. And then what you do after that, if you do have a video that takes off, is you keep doing that every single day. If you want it, then that's what you do. But you can make a living without this stuff. You know, I think a lot of people put way too much, I don't even know the word for it, the pressure on themselves, really, to be something they're not. Don't do that. It's just life is short. Enjoy yourself. Make what you want to make. Be unapologetically confident at all times, especially if you're a woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be you.
Yeah. I should say, especially if you're anything other than a straight white man. Be unapologetic. And you know what?
Be unapologetic.
I have a ton of straight white men in my life, and they are wonderful people. And I always keep that in mind, too, of just like, the straight white men that are shitbags are really low percentage, but we give them weight. We give them way too much space in our heads, and we need to not do that anymore.
And as far as having like a real job, I think that is 100% relative. And you can make, there's plenty of people that have made just about anything a real job. You know, once upon a time, doctors got chickens for house calls. And it wasn't that it wasn't a real job. It was they got chickens for house calls. And someone probably had a hard time making a living by just accepting chickens. So I feel like you can make it what you want it to be. So I'm not someone maybe that would give advice on that, but it bothers me when someone says something like that's not a real job, because there's people out there who are famous and rich for nothing, and they're seen as more successful than the people that work hard at two and three jobs, and that's an incorrect way to look at it.
Yeah, we shouldn't be talking down to people, and when we say that, because when we were bartenders for like 15 years. And some people were like, oh, when you get a real job, it's just like, I have no idea how much money you can make when you're a bartender. Like, right? It is a career. And when people say like real job, it's just like, what do you mean sitting behind a desk all day long? It's just like, that's one of those things of like, we need to correct how we speak. Yeah. And that, because that's really degrading and awful to say to somebody with like a real job. We all have real jobs, motherfucker.
Yes. Yeah, I swear. If it's honest work, it's honest work. Right.
We all have real jobs. Everyone's has a real job. And lots of times we just put more attention on certain jobs.
Yeah.
But the is blue collar has held up the entire world since the beginning of time. It's like, that's me. I am blue collar through and through, no doubt about it. It's just like, I have no problem with that. It's just like being a blue collar worker.
Yeah. A couple comments from the chat I just want to point out. One of them is Mary Haskins on Facebook said, finding what feeds your soul is not always a straight line. No pun intended. It takes years sometimes. And Danella in the UK, I recall, said, Leah, one of the main reasons I enjoy watching your videos is the fact that you are your true self. It makes me feel I'm with a friend I've known for years.
That's awesome. And you know what? I feel this way, too. I just feel like when we opened a lounge, a cocktail lounge, I felt that we invited all these people into our house, and we didn't know who was going to come, but who ended up coming into the lounge were this amazing, eclectic group of individuals. And I feel the same way about social media. I feel the same way. Like, I see these people commenting. I wish I could like have a conversation with all of them, and lots of times I can't because there's like so many messages, and I feel guilty that I can't. But I feel the same way. It's just like, what a great group of people that we're all here together. And I don't want to say it's because of me, because it's not because of me. It's because of us. And I think some people really lose sight of stuff like that. They're just like, oh, look at me. It's not about me. It's about the experience that we're all creating together. And that needs to be like forefront for all of us, because if we're a united front like that, whether it's social media or anything else, it's like we can take on anything. We can fix things.
Yeah, look at the women in Iceland.
Right? Oh, yeah. That was amazing.
It was amazing.
That was something like a huge percentage of all the women in Iceland that did that. That's the joy, I think, of a small country, too. It's like the United States doesn't even feel like as like one country. It feels like the Northeast, the Southeast, East, Midwest, and then California. That's what it feels like.
We're really good at dividing.
We are. It's just, I'm kind of a little jealous of the small countries and how like they can just pull things off like that. It's like in this country, it takes an awful lot to change something. It's just like, it's a kind of a bummer, I'd say.
But I think to your point, and from like an outsider perspective, I think looking at us having a conversation about this is where social media makes its impact, is to start having these conversations and to start where we've been rather divided, start talking about the things that would rather connect us. And it's the thing of like, okay, you're talking about something that really matters to you. Yes, I agree. Let's talk about it. Let's make a conversation out of it, not an attack. Let's bring it everybody together and find a way forward.
Yes, exactly. And we can do that. It's like, I think lots of times we want to be on the offensive or the defensive, but that's not going to get anything done. It's just like talking about what it does. I've always felt like I was, especially being a gay woman who doesn't walk the line of like, look, I'm a girly girl. Obviously, I'm not, but I feel like I'm a bridge. And because I can do so many things, I've been in many instances where there's people, especially straight white men, who are like, friggin' dyke or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But once we sit down and we talk, or we're standing around and we're like, oh yeah, I built that. Oh yeah, I can brew beer. I did that professionally. I did this. They're like, oh, I like Leah. And I think that's my job. My job is be the bridge.
Connect.
Be the bridge. Yeah. Connect, because we can all connect something. We don't have to all be the same, but we can all connect. Because what makes the world wonderful is that we are all different. That's what makes it great. Can you imagine if we were all just like vanilla cookies, vanilla
Boring.
wafer?
Yeah.
Ew, no.
Be a vanilla wafer. No.
No,
Boring.
I'd rather be a vanilla wafer inside of banana pudding. Like, at least I'm like being utilized for something that's like rather tasty. But that is a metaphor to unpack at a much different time.
Somebody clip that. My
Wait, hold on
goodness.
one second. I gotta do something. Hold on one second.
Sure, go for it. Yeah, I was gonna clip that. I forgot. I want the banana pudding clip of Trey saying that. That's
Oh,
awesome. All right, I'm
ladies
back.
and gentlemen.
Vanilla wafer. Right. The banana cream pie. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that was really tasty. I remember those. It was really good. It's a
Yeah.
guilty pleasure.
It is definitely a guilty pleasure. Leah, one thing I do want to talk about because my boyfriend upstairs this year, and this is a very, very stark left turn at Albuquerque, but One thing that my boyfriend encouraged me this year was to get a particularly tall skeleton figure, a 12-foot skeleton from Home
Right.
Depot. And I noticed that you had a returned visitor this year from a fellow skeleton member of the family.
I
Can you
did.
tell me a little bit about this guy?
All right. So what happened is, what was it? Amelia brought it home for
It was a
me.
surprise.
Amelia says it was a surprise. So I was working in the shop and she said, "I brought something home for you." And I was like, "Where is it?" Like, "You'll find out when you come back in from working." And I came back in from working and I decided I'd film it. And I didn't see it because it was a skeleton. So it took me there was probably 10 seconds of me not registering it. And I was like, "Oh my God, it's skeleton." And then, of course, I made up a story about it because it's fun.
Course.
But it's awesome. I think I'm gonna have it in the house year round.
Please,
Right? Like put it in a chair.
Oh yeah.
I jokingly told Seth that we were gonna try to make it make the 12-foot skeleton happen all year round. I saw someone decorate it for like back to school in the Britney Spears "Hit Me Baby One More Time" garb, with a sign that just said, "Welcome back to school," and it just had "Hit me, baby, one more time."
Yeah. 12 feet though, that's huge.
Oh, but it's great. There were so many kids when, like, we were giving out candy on Halloween. I'd open the door and they'd be like, "Oh, you're the one who put up Skelly? Oh, he's so cool!"
That's awesome. Oh my
Yeah,
God.
pride of the neighborhood.
Wait, somebody wants to know my favorite dessert. My favorite dessert. Wow. Blueberry pie.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Blueberry pie, probably. I love blueberries, especially a good blueberry pie.
That's a good
Porch.
one. I think pie is superior to cake in every way. So
I
I'm
do too.
in agreement.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, okay, except sometimes there's those really beautiful chocolate layer cakes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then I'm in trouble. Then I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Chocolate.
If it's like
Right?
really well done, yes.
Yes. Because
I.
you know the cake I'm talking about is like
Yes.
some cake that is just like, oh, it's to die for. Yes.
Yep.
But I love fruit and I love pies. And Amelia is an amazing, she was a baker, so
Oh.
our second business was a bakery and a brewery. So she was a baker and I was a brewer. So I was brewing beer.
Okay, we're gonna come visit. I'll bring you one of those cakes, the chocolate with all the
Oh,
micro
awesome.
layers of amazingness.
Right?
And someone said cheesecake. That's another winner.
Oh, yeah, I
That's
couldn't say
a cake
cheese.
I will choose over a regular cake.
Oh,
Yes.
jeez.
Oh, pavlova. Amelia made a pavlova a couple of years ago. It was amazing. It was for one of our friends' birthdays who lives in Vermont. And she just loves stuff like that. It was delicious. It's just like this white, giant egg white kind of dessert with cream in it. And oh, yeah, that was amazing. I have a sweet tooth, but we don't keep sweets in the house because
It's
not good for
safer. Yeah.
me. Right? Yeah.
It's a lot safer.
Because I'm like a pointer, I'm like a dog. If Amelia got if she's got chocolate in the house, I will just like D-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d. I'll find it. I find it. I'm terrible.
Well, Amelia, I hate to do this, but I am going to make a big recommendation. We've had them on our podcast before, but
Oh yeah.
Storyboard Delights is a
Oh.
fantastic purveyor of chocolates. They're based out of
Longview, Washington.
thank you, Washington. They have some incredible chocolates. I can send you recommendations. Amelia will hate me. I'm sorry, but they're delicious.
Oh, Amelia should eat them too.
Yes.
They're
All
good.
right. We'll
Yes.
do it. We'll do it.
They're worth every penny.
Holidays are coming, so that's perfect.
Yeah. Storybook Delights. Tell them that we sent you.
Oh, I will.
We love them. Hopefully they love us. So dumb. I wanna ask, if someone were trying to get into woodworking or they had a mind to like try it, what advice would you give for somebody who just wants to maybe dive in or dabble?
I think it all depends on who you are and what your skill set is and what you're comfortable with and how you learn, right? So how you learn is a big deal. It's just like, do you need to be shown? Do you need to see it? Do you need to read it? You have to know, I think A is knowing your learning style is ultra important with something, with any craft like this. And then I would say, find a cabinet shop. And you want to get into woodworking, get into a cabinet shop first. And what is going to happen is you're not going to like it. You're going to be sanding and sanding and sanding. But sooner or later, they're going to teach you more things. And if you can't get into a cabinet shop, go to somebody who, like a lumber company, be like, I want to get into woodworking. That's if you want to learn that way. Like somebody asked, how did I learn? I learned just by doing. But there's not a lot of people like me. It's just like, I'm not scared to screw up. In fact, I kind of like to make mistakes because that is where the learning is.
Yeah.
Is the learning is inside of those mistakes. So those are very important to do. And that's yet another thing that I think we need to redefine. They're not mistakes. Just like there's no failure. It's right. Just like, are you trying? That's it. Then you're trying. There's no failure in trying. We're just
right.
Trying
just to do learning. That. Yeah.
Right?
It's just so, learning.
Yeah. So if you're mechanically inclined, I would say get some books. The first book that I would recommend would be, there's a Lost Art Press book. What is it called? The Anarchist's Design Book, I believe is what it's called. It's a beautiful book and minimal amount of tools and you could make the whole house full of furniture.
Oh, wow.
And it's really, really detailed. Also, I think YouTube is great, but beware of all, don't just do any YouTube. Look at like the real people who are woodworking. Look at Fine Woodworking. Like, actually, just get the subscription to Fine Woodworking on the internet. Don't even get the magazine, because then you can get all of the issues, the back issues, and you can just get it digitally. There's so much information on there. And a lot of these people are easily found, and they answer questions. So
nice. Like, okay.
And primarily, it's a bunch of dudes, but I think they're cool. I mean, and there's more and more women that we're seeing, but yeah. And then start making things. Just start making. That's all you gotta do.
And you don't have to buy brand new tools. You can get tools secondhand. There's plenty on like Facebook Marketplace, and make sure it works and is safe, but. Like, you don't have to buy brand new stuff to start.
Yeah. And usually, the other thing is, there's usually somebody probably on your street that knows how to use these tools. And you can say, hey, was that just a cat behind you? Did I just see a tail?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Ah-ha! That was cool.
Do you have pets? What color was the tail? Was it? Oh, I feel her. It's velvet. She's black.
Yeah.
She's right here. Come here, baby.
Oh,
she's the podcast cat. You have to turn around. See you.
He's come like, in. No.
She's got my shirt. There we go. Come here.
Love cats. Say cats hi. Are awesome. Oh my goodness.
Oh. What?
Oh.
Yeah, I would say don't be scared to ask people, because I think lots of times we think we're supposed to do things and not ask for help. And if you have a neighbor on your street, like. If somebody came to my house and was just like, you're always woodworking, can you show me something? I'd be like, sure, come on in. We do want to teach other people our skills. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. So find those people. And also there's maker spaces. Makerspaces are fantastic. If you're in a city, there's probably a makerspace, right?
Yeah,
there you go.
There's one at mine.
Mm-hmm. All right. And those are awesome. Just like...
They are.
People want to teach you things.
And if your local makerspace doesn't have woodworking or whatever art form you want in it, go talk to them about getting it in there, because they're usually
exactly.
looking to expand and make the public happy with what they're offering.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I like what the truth found keeps saying. Yet. That's right. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. You're going to do it well. Lost Art Press. Yes, that's it. Amelia Sauter. Thanks, Amelia. That's my woman.
Yeah. Oh, hi, Amelia.
Thanks, hi, Amelia.
Man. Yay.
That's a great book. So I would highly recommend it.
Cool.
Leah, as we're wrapping up here, I want to make sure that our audience can find you on social media. We've had a lot of people I know that have been commenting tonight, but as we publish this episode and as your audience continues to grow, how can our listening audience interact with you?
Instagram is Leah Hotelling Woodworking, and Facebook is just Leah Hotelling. I'm also going to start doing YouTube, because that has to be the next step in all of this. So that's Leah Hotelling Woodworking on YouTube. So I expect to be doing some videos early winter to start doing weekly videos there.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Well, number one, I look forward to that, because I am a massive and like, I was about to say the wrong word, and I'm going to avoid saying the wrong word, but I love intaking a lot of YouTube videos. So that is my primary form. So let me know when that when you get started with that, because I will look forward to more of this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can find us pretty much wherever you tune into podcasts for updates, announcements, and potentially Leah's GoFundMe for getting to Japan. Please follow us on social media under Modern Romantic. Leah, it has been a pleasure having you on today.
Thank you
so much for being on.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you for everybody who tuned in. Thank you very much. I love you all.
Thank you.
Hashtag nothing is weird.
Thanks for
Be
joining
normal.
Us. Yes. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
See ya.
Bye. Oh my gosh, Emily, I cannot believe this incredible chocolate we've been tasting. Ugh, we had to bring Eric and Jaleesa from Storyboard Delights back to discuss.
Absolutely we did. What is it about your chocolate that makes it so magical?
Ooh, it's magical because we infuse so much fun in our chocolate. It's not something serious, but it is a serious experience. We make sculpted chocolate bars that have stories to tell, like, for instance, our Red Riding Hood bar.
Oh, the Red Riding Hood bar is super fun. First, we start with the digital painting on the front, and it tells the first part of the story of Red Riding Hood walking into the woods. And then when you unwrap it, you have this sculpted bar of Big Bad Wolf sitting in Granny's bed. And then you taste it, and the flavor profile wraps up the rest of the story. And so you first, when you bite into it, you taste the earthiness of the chocolate, which is the hunting grounds of the Big Bad Wolf. And then you've got the pasilla chili pepper, which provides sort of the prowl. It's kind of spicy, not quite, but then the guajillo bites you at the end, just like the Big Bad Wolf.
You can find us at www.storyboarddelights.com. Pick out whichever chocolate you want, whichever story you want, and we will ship it right to your door.
Fantastic. I'm going to storyboarddelights.com right now.